AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The mastermind of the September 11th attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and two other defendants have agreed to plead guilty in order to avoid the death penalty.
The Pentagon has not released details of the deal publicly, but the trials of the 9/11 conspirators has been delayed for years. Last September, President Biden rejected a set of demands that had formed the basis of the plea negotiations. Some of the victims' families had expressed outrage when word came last year that a plea deal was in the works.
ABC's chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce. A 17-year-old is charged with murder in the fatal stabbing of three children in Southport, England. Delta Airlines has suspended all flights between New York's JFK Airport and Tel Aviv through at least tomorrow due to ongoing conflict in the region. United's canceled all daily flights to the Israeli city. A federal judge rules New Jersey's ban of the AR-15 rifle is unconstitutional. This is ABC News. The Federal Trade Commission says CarShield will pay $10 million to settle charges that its advertisements and telemarketing for vehicle service contracts are deceptive. The FTC says many customers found that repair claims often were not covered. After a lengthy delay, OpenAI is releasing a new version of its voice mode ChatGPT.
When OpenAI first showed off the new voice mode for ChatGPT back in May, the company quickly came under scrutiny for how similar one of the technology's automated voices sounded.
Hey there, how can I brighten your day today?
To Scarlett Johansson.
Hi, how you doing?
The actress even sent letters to the company asking how the voice was created. OpenAI then delayed the release of the new mode until this week. Now saying they've made it so that ChatGPT cannot impersonate other people's voices. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
Stocks closed higher today, the S&P at a five-month high. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
This history can't be denied. Wisconsin is the home of the hamburger. About 30 minutes west of Green Bay, you'll find the city of Seymour, where in the 1880s, young Charlie Nagreen pushed his food cart to the fair. The 15-year-old planned to sell round balls of beef to visitors, but it didn't quite catch on. Can you guess the surprising reason why? The answer's coming up. Every summer, the home of the hamburger celebrates its history in a huge way with Burger Fest in Seymour. There's a 200-pound burger on the grill, a bun, run, ketchup slide, and of course, a burger-eating contest. So did you guess why Charlie's first beef recipe didn't work out? Well, as the story goes, visitors to the fair wanted to walk around. Charlie realized he needed to smash his beef ball between two pieces of bread to be able to eat it on the go. Charlie's hamburger, a huge success, making Seymour the home of the hamburger, a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A man who stabbed a teenager to death tubing in the Apple River 2 years ago is going to prison. More from James Kelly.
Nikolai Mew was convicted of first-degree reckless homicide and four counts of recklessly endangering safety following an eight-day trial in St. Croix County. On Wednesday, he was sentenced to serve a total of 20 years in prison and 6 years extended supervision. Mew was arrested following the July 2022 incident where he stabbed five people on the river, killing 17-year-old Isaac Schumann in the process.
I'm James Kelly.
Vice President Kamala Harris and her running mate plan to stop in western Wisconsin next week. Harris is expected to announce her running mate by Tuesday. That's when they'll be at a rally in Philadelphia. They'll campaign in seven swing states in 4 days after that. That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Long practice and pads in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers held their longest, most physical practice of training camp so far on the hottest day. 2 hours of hitting, scrimmage, and drills under the midday sun.
We know it's going to be hot and warned them yesterday.
to make sure they take care of their hydration, everything they put in their body, make sure you get a good night's rest, and it's going to be a little bit of a gut check, I think.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur. Baseball. The Brewers jumped out to a 2-0 lead, then let the Braves score 6 unanswered runs, losing 6-2 to Atlanta. Milwaukee's now lost their last 4 home game series in the past month. Pat Murphy.
There's so many factors involved. You have to kind of reach down and kind of reassess like where you are personally and how you can get back to that lift in your step and that edge that you had early, and not worry about standings and things like that. Worry about playing good. That's it. Worry about playing good.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered storms, some could be strong. Warm and muggy with a low near 70. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, more storms possible. Not as hot, but still humid, high mid-80s. Heating back up Friday and plenty of humidity, high upper 80s. We're sitting at 84 degrees right now.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talked to the Humane Animal Welfare Society of Waukesha County. They got a special deal going on. Sports with Paul Noonan and Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. We are kicking off hour number 2 here at Nightlight, broadcasting statewide over our beautiful state from gorgeous downtown Green Bay on this summer night. Conrad, if people wanted to watch the radio, how would they go about that?
Yeah, so on Facebook, we're under WGBW or Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On Twitter or X, we're under Civic Media. And on YouTube, Civic Media or WGBW.
Tune in, drop us a like, or give us a follow if you like. Should I ask for that more? I feel like I'm pandering. Is that weird?
Well, a like and a share too, actually.
You know what? Just buy our swag. Just ensconce yourself with all things Nightlight. We'd love it. But if you have not tried Nightlight or Civic Media on the app, highly recommend it. Very easy to use. You can take all your favorite shows with you. And it's very easy to text the show because we're on statewide and there's a little icon there. You can just tap it right there. Also, if you are listening tomorrow to the Mino and the Mayor show, as you should be, they are doing a ticket giveaway. They have a 4-pack of tickets to Packers Family Night tomorrow that they'll be giving away at Mino and the Mayor. I don't know if Mino's giving them away or the Mayor. They'll probably do 2 each, so neither one of them feels left out. But you should tune in. Craig, are you going to tune in for that?
You know what? I'm sitting here, Pete, and look at this book.
That's John Mino's book.
Yeah, it's 50 strong. I didn't even know that he...
He's written like 700 books, and I'm not
even
exaggerating.
Are you kidding me?
No, they're all they're all the same book. They have different titles, but he sells them like crazy. No, he writes a lot of books. He does a lot of work with veterans. It's John's a great guy. He does a lot of really cool stuff like that. And tomorrow, he'll be giving away a 4-pack of tickets to Packers Family Night. If you haven't gone to Packers Family Night, it's fun. Have you been there, Conrad?
Actually, I have not, no.
I went 1 year, and it was, I will say, the hottest day of my life. And, you know, we tailgated on blacktop. It was just, it went from bad to worse. You know, the game is insignificant. You're just going there to be part of the atmosphere. But I will say on the night I went, it was really muggy. But I think most of the time, that's a really fun occasion. Amanda's probably shaking her head right now. That's great, Pete. Yeah, talk people out of going to family. But free tickets. You can't beat that.
Yeah, you can't miss that.
Yeah, and you can be entertained and listen to Mino and the Mayor. There's so much fun in the morning. So tune in tomorrow for that. Craig Anthony Knitt is here in the studio. We just wrapped up a conversation about Comic-Con. Before we move on, you said you stayed in L.A. What did you do? What else did you do in Southern California?
Oh, my gosh. I got a chance to visit the Getty Villa, which is an art museum.
Is that
all
the old
this.
One?
This is an
in
old
Malibu,
one. Yeah,
not it, the it, one on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you been to that one before?
I've been to both. I was at the new one.
The Getty's amazing. The main one.
The new one in like Pacific Palisades.
I don't know if that's the one I saw.
It's the huge one on
cliff. Yeah. That one. And oh, that's awesome.
It's a stunning building. Mm-hmm. It almost is more interesting to me than the art they had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But then I know there's the John Paul Getty, his original museum, which is...
That might have been the one I was at.
Okay, that's a little
but
smaller.
But the villa is based on like this Pompeii building that was destroyed.
It's
just this gorgeous layout and all these ancient Greek sculptures and oh my God, I can't imagine how much history is in there.
Yeah.
We kind of had to muscle our way through there pretty quick.
For sure. Yeah, that's a great attraction. And well, that's good. It sounds like you had a great trip.
Yeah, and there are other things too, but I'm going blank here. I was thinking about Packers family night, Pete.
Yeah.
And my little guy that I talked about last time I was on.
Oh, yeah, the guy that interviewed Mark Murphy, right?
Yeah, the full interview is out now, too.
Oh, tell people where they can see that.
You can see that on YouTube.
Okay. We need a little more information.
If you search Boys and Girls Club of Greater Green Bay or Boys and Girls Club of the Bay and Lakes region, you'll find our website. And we've got little Beckett, who's 9 years old, little redhead guy, interviewing Mark Murphy, another little redheaded boy when he was young,
wow.
I'm sure. And the whole interview
was charming.
How much bonding
did those guys do?
They did.
Over the red moss.
Oh, my God, they did. And the kid is like, hey, Mark, let me ask you this. Is red hair really a superhero or a superpower? And Mark Murphy's like, yeah, I think it is. And not at first when I was a kid. I got teased and everything. But now I think it is a superpower. So they really connected in such a great way.
Cool.
But if your fans are interested in seeing the half hour interview, they can find that on there, and it is charming. It's super, super charming.
That's great. And that's one of your students.
That was one of my kids, yeah.
Very nice. All right. Now let's get to the question of the evening. I've been doing my best, Craig, to keep up on the summer blockbusters
and
the box office.
There's a big one.
I've done pretty well. I have not seen Deadpool. I have not seen any of the Deadpools, so when it was my opportunity to go last weekend with a group, I went and saw Long Legs instead.
Ooh, I heard that one's a good one, too.
Yeah.
Is it unique in any way?
It's different and weird.
Okay.
But I almost, for the sake of being weird, maybe, I don't know.
Okay.
It was okay. I didn't hate it, but I was expecting to like it more. But I didn't want to see Deadpool. I want to see at least one of the two Deadpools before this one. I should.
You probably should.
Okay.
Honestly. I mean, it could be a standalone, but there are so many cameos in this thing that have much more of a punch if you know kind of what's happening in the stories. And there was one cameo in particular that I will not spoil for anybody because it was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it just... Everybody in the theater went crazy, and I was able to go to an IMAX 3D theater and sit in like one of the very front rows, not the front row. I'd never want to see a movie in that row,
right.
But in the first respectable rows. Right.
Yeah.
And I thought we were too close. Thought we were way too close. But when that 3D kicked in, Pete, oh my God, it was the best 3D I've ever seen in my life. It felt like you could reach out and grab these graphics that were there. And then the very first scene in the movie shows him in the woods next to a grave. And it was measured out. So it would be like, you're right there. You're right in that same location. Brilliantly done.
Where did you see it?
I saw it in LA at a big public mall, whatever the heck IMAX theater they had there.
Okay.
But it's so crazy because I love films.
Was it at the Grove near West Hollywood?
It could have been.
Okay.
It very well could have been. But as much as I love movies, I can't tell you how many films I've seen in Shano by myself.
Yeah.
You know? And it's a blockbuster. It's the newest release of this film. And here I am sitting in there watching it by myself. And, you know, Green Bay gets a lot more people in there.
Sure.
But even watching something in Wapaka or something like that, I thought you go to a movie theater in California and it's packed and it is top notch. And I wish we were taking that same consideration in our films here.
It's tough because when I lived there, I loved whenever my family would come back to Wisconsin, if I had to stay back for work and then join them later, I'd have 2 weeks to myself. I would go to movies at 10 in the morning.
Yep.
And you're with other people who there's no one talking. They want to watch the film.
Yeah.
They're serious movie fans. So I get that. And I love, like, we would pay for the, I can't even think of the name of the theater now. It's like the Omnimax or whatever, but you pay for your ticket ahead of time. Yep. The seat is waiting for you. Now they kind of do that everywhere, but I always liked that. I didn't mind paying a little more because you didn't have to rush. People were really serious about watching the film. So you liked Deadpool overall?
I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It's not perfect. There are at least two little spots that I didn't care for that much. And I thought I did at first, but then it's like, nah, that needs to grow on me more. Okay. But just studying the cameos that they had, and it's weird too, because the character Deadpool is such a swarmy jerk. You know, he's always such a smart mouth. And Conrad, you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Loved it.
Have you seen, you saw it already too?
Loved it.
So you know what I'm talking about as far as the cameo is concerned.
Yes.
And they needed.
Conrad can be a smart mouth sometimes.
You can. I noticed that right away. Would you shut your mouth, Conrad?
I try to ground him. He doesn't listen to me.
But the thing that they did with this movie right away, which I thought was brilliant, is they made me like him again.
Yeah.
They needed to put that in there because we've seen so many trailers for this movie for the last 2 years, it feels. And he's just always, ha-ha, smart mouth, this, that. And he still is a smart mouth in the film. But they gave him some likability right away. And that is so important.
Yeah.
When it's a character that you're going to sit with for 2 hours, you know?
Yeah.
And then Wolverine, of course, was Hugh Jackman again. And he does a fine, fine job with that character. There's a lot of inside jokes that they make about, you know, the character. And actually, I'm gonna spoil one right now, but it's not a big thing. Wolverine in the comics is 5'3". Hugh Jackman is like 6'2".
Yeah.
You know, so all of a sudden this guy is at least a foot taller than the character is supposed to be in the comics. And one of the first places they go to get a Wolverine for their world is got this little scrawny little Wolverine with Conrad, how would you describe it? It had Hugh Jackman's head on it, and he's fur covered too because he's a hairy little monster in the comics.
And but he's taller than an actual Wolverine.
Yes.
There's very few people they could, you know, who are they going to interview, like Jack Black or Kevin Hart? You know, you got to go someone taller, I would think, unless those guys can pull it off, you know. Craig, before we run out of time, I want to talk about your new film, The Inheritance. It's gonna gonna premiere at the Milwaukee Short Film Festival.
Yeah.
Tell us about the film. Tell us about the story.
I got a chance to shoot a film at the Wauwega Opera House, which is where we're gonna have that Bill Rabain celebration, and we'll talk about that later on, and really try to get you tied into that somehow.
Sure.
But I heard on the radio Elton John talking about how his friend had just passed away. And Elton John said, if I could get one more conversation with this guy, I would give my fame and my fortune. I would give those two things up to have that. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's really sweet. But what would happen if you truly had that opportunity? Nice. You know, would you really act on it? Or is that just a sweet thing you say for you know, a little bit of sympathy? And that's kind of where it goes from there. But again, we've got that Bill Rabain thing coming up October 4th.
Attack of the Giant. No, the giant spider invasion.
Okay. Yeah, that's a big thing. And
I did watch it.
I heard that. I was listening to the podcast.
That was a wild movie.
I was so excited for that. And it's not the greatest thing by any means, but it's charming and something really cool to see. And then finally, too, Pete, I've got some buddies down in Appleton that are making a film called Deermageddon the Musical. That was Dan Davies film.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, and there's an Actors in Wisconsin website if anybody's interested in being cast in that film.
Give us the website, then we got to run.
Good. But thank you again, Pete, for having me on.
Anytime, Craig. This has been fun.
This is wonderful.
And come back before your film premieres at the Milwaukee Short Film Festival. We'll give people some more information.
Super
cool.
All
right, very cool. That's Craig Anthony Kinnitt, fresh off his appearance at Comic-Con. Dwayne Kennedy, the very funny Dwayne Kennedy, Kennedy coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show. At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The Todd Almost Show.
Trigvi Olsen, Senior Advisor with the Lincoln Project.
You know, one of the things I think that you've done with this show, and I'm proud to be a part of it, is we've really tried to get out and listen to people.
And that's why I'm so thankful to work for a company like Civic Media that allows us to do that. Because the more we get out and listen to our friends and neighbors, we discover they're not our enemy. We're all Americans, and yeah. It really is a melting pot.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Welcome back. We are barreling through this episode of Nightlight here, broadcasting live statewide all over our beautiful state of Wisconsin from downtown Green Bay on a gorgeous summer night. Great to have you with me. We are going to turn our attention now from Comic-Con, an independent film, to comedy. And one of my favorite comedians is about to join us for the second time on Nightlight. He is on the stream and he is waiting patiently. Dwayne Kennedy. Dwayne, how are you?
Hey, Pete. I'm great. How are you?
Doing very well. Thanks for being here tonight. You know, you were here a couple months ago. Well, first of all, how are you?
Mm-hmm. How am I?
Yeah.
You know, I'm good, man. You know, I just finished doing Patty Vasquez's show, and I had to stop. I'm here at a club called the Lincoln Lodge. You ever heard of the Lincoln Lodge?
I'm having trouble hearing you, Dwayne. Did you say the Lincoln Lodge?
Comedy club in Chicago.
Oh yeah, no, I don't know if I know that place.
Do I need to talk louder?
Conrad, what do you suggest?
Yeah. Anyway,
we got him now. You're good now, Dwayne.
I'm fine.
Yeah, we got you now.
You can hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. So I had to stop at the Lincoln Lodge to do this. Yeah. So
very nice. How's Patty doing?
That's where I'm at. That's why the connection might be bad. I don't know, man.
Well, we got you now. I think we got you.
Can you hear me or no?
Yeah, we can hear you. If we can't hear you, we'll let you know, and maybe we could call you on the phone or something. But right now it seems to be working just fine. I thought of you recently, Dwayne, because
good. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought of you recently.
But anywho, I'm all right.
Good. It was great to have you. You were in a documentary. I just had Mike Alexander on about a month ago, and I saw your name in the credits. You were one of the producers of Out of the Loop, a documentary about Chicago stand-up comics. Right. How was that?
Right. It was, you know, well, the project, man, all, you know, was conceived by Michael Alexander, and he brought me in as one of the producers. It was great, man. It was just, you know, Michael did so much of the filming, and he's like, got a hold of people that, you know, it's like, man, like, oh, I forgot all about that person, or, you know, they're telling you stories like, oh yeah, I remember that. So it was interesting, man, just to see where people were at, and, you know, and just the different, how, you know, how stories are different, but they're still kind of the same story in some way, like, oh,
right,
you know, a different club owner, but the same type of experience. Yeah, that guy didn't pay me either, you know.
Right. I actually, when I was looking at some of your videos today, Dwayne, I saw you doing another podcast, and you talked to this guy. You guys were in a car, and you were saying how you did a set on a Saturday night for Jay Burke at the Comedy Cottage, but you didn't get paid till Tuesday. He made you come back to the club on Tuesday in the middle of the week to get paid for a set you had done on Saturday.
Yeah.
What was the deal there?
Yeah. Pete, I have no idea what the deal was with that. He did that. Yeah, you do shows during the week and then you have to come back to the club on a Tuesday. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the deal was, man. And I was so new, I didn't know any different. You know, I was like, all right, I guess this is how it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I love stories.
And you were burning, you were using up more money in gas.
Huh? You had, and plus you're a Southside guy, so to go all the way back up to the North Side or out by O'Hare to get paid $50 is sort of like, you know, kind of a wash right at that point, I would imagine. There was another. Right.
I was burning more in gas than I was getting paid.
Right. There was another comedy club owner in Chicago. I remember his business was kind of circling the drain, and he would pay you in cash. And he would say, as he's giving you cash, don't spend this until Thursday. That's how out of it, man, he was. So what did you do on Out of the Loop, Dwayne? What were your duties as a film producer on this documentary? It was very well done. A great film, by the way.
You know, I'm sorry, Pete. Oh, thank you. I just corralled some of the talent, you know, put Michael in touch with some people, reached out to some folks, you know. And then my friend Scott Perlman got involved in it. He's the one that actually, once Michael like accumulated all footage, then Scott and I like added a little more footage, and then Scott like edited the entire thing and really made it a story.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It was just like a lot of footage of a lot of people, but there was, yeah.
Yeah. So I want to ask you about another film, Dwayne. We're having a connection issue again. So maybe if it's all right with you, we'll just give you a call on the phone. If that's cool, and we can have you back so we don't miss any of this. I'll give Conrad your number here, but,
you want to just call me?
Let's do that. Yeah. Let's,
I'm pretty sure the issue is me. I'm always assuming anything ever goes wrong electronically, I always assume I'm the reason why.
I usually assume I'm the reason if something goes wrong in general, but I'll give you this one, Dwayne. But yeah, I will shoot Conrad your number and we will give you a call on the phone. So Dwayne Kennedy is my guest. He's a Chicago-based comedian, a very funny stand-up comedian, and Emmy Award-winning writer. We will ask him about that too. And I want to ask him if he has seen another documentary about Chicago comedy called Funny Business. Are you familiar with that documentary, Dwayne? Funny Business?
No.
That was
Funny Business?
Yeah, it was a documentary about the club, All Jokes Aside. I don't know if you ever worked All Jokes, but it was a really, really well-done documentary by a guy named Michael Davies. All right, let's see if we can call Dwayne Conrad. Dwayne, sit tight. We're going to give you a call on the phone so we can iron this out. But Dwayne Kennedy's here. And the film is called Out of the Loop. It's a great documentary. For those of you who are stand-up comedy fans, check it out. I want to say it's on Prime, but it's got Bob Odenkirk, Jeff Garland, Dwayne is in it, and it's got some of the best Chicago comics, many of whom you've probably seen on TV or at Comedy Central specials, that kind of thing. But it's a great show, and Dwayne is here discussing his involvement with that, and we'll talk about Dwayne's comedy too, and also the Emmy he won for comedy writing, which is really impressive. So let me know when we have Dwayne on the phone, Conrad. So you can see Out of the Loop. It's on Tubi, Amazon Prime, Plex. Plex is one of the new ones. I didn't even know about Plex. And YouTube. But I think on some of these it's free. On Tubi it's free. It's a great documentary. Dwayne has also... I've known Dwayne for years since I started doing stand-up in Chicago. I think he started a little bit before me. But we got to be friends in Chicago. We're getting Dwayne on the phone as we speak. Ladies and gentlemen, our question of the night, don't go to sleep on this question. All the kids are in bed now, so you can give your suggestions. Great porno title. My favorite one so far is Butts Up Doc. So let us know. That's our question of the night, 855-752-4842. Dwayne Kennedy is here. We're going to do our award-winning news here at Civic Media, and we'll be right back with more with Dwayne Kennedy on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. The mastermind of the September 11th attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and two other defendants have agreed to plead guilty in order to avoid the death penalty.
The Pentagon has not released details of the deal publicly, but the trials of the 9/11 conspirators has been delayed for years. Last September, President Biden rejected a set of demands that had formed the basis of the plea negotiations. Some of the victims' families had expressed outrage when word came last year that a plea deal was in the works.
ABC's chief White House correspondent Mary Bruce. A 17-year-old is charged with murder in the fatal stabbing of three children in Southport, England. Delta Airlines has suspended all flights between New York's JFK Airport and Tel Aviv through at least tomorrow due to ongoing conflict in the region. United's canceled all daily flights to the Israeli city. A federal judge rules New Jersey's ban of the AR-15 rifle is unconstitutional. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People who get lung transplants at UW Health have the nation's highest one-year survival rate. That's according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. 95% of lung transplant patients at UW Health are still around after 1 year. The national average is closer to 88%. The Wisconsin State Fair gets underway Thursday, but we already know the best food. Stuart J. Waddles explains.
The Wisconsin State Fair awarded their prestigious Sporky's Award for Best Food. The top prize goes to Saz's Deep Fried Lemonade Bites. Second and third places went to the Bud Pavilion's Hot Ham and Glazers and Camp Bar's Rise and Swine. The fair in West Dallas runs through the 11th. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. People who get lung transplants at UW Health have the nation's highest one-year survival rate. That's according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. 95% of lung transplant patients at UW Health are still around after 1 year. The national average is closer to 88%. The Wisconsin State Fair gets underway Thursday, but we already know the best food. Stuart J. Waddles explains.
The Wisconsin State Fair awarded their prestigious Sporky's Award for Best Food. The top prize goes to Saz's Deep Fried Lemonade Bites. Second and third places went to the Bud Pavilion's Hot Ham and Glazers and Camp Bar's Rise and Swine. The fair in West Dallas runs through the 11th. I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, scattered storms, some could be strong. Warm and muggy with a low near 70. And a mix of sun and clouds for tomorrow, more storms possible. Not as hot, but still humid, high mid-80s. Heating back up Friday and plenty of humidity, high upper 80s. It's 82 right now.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Speaking of J.D. Vance, if you're watching on the stream, you can see behind me what we're now calling the J.D. Vance couch. There are some reports that back in the day, during the frat days of J.D. Vance, he may have gotten intimate with a couch. So.
You know, I've slept on that couch a few times, but I can't say I've slept with that couch, and nor do I plan to.
No.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
On the next show, Luke Mathers. Hey, wait, that's me. I'll be filling in for Todd. Joining me will be Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign to talk good government, and we'll preview some of the new foods at the Wisconsin State Fair.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Want to share your thoughts by texting in or calling? Download the Civic Media app and select your local station. Or call 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Now, here's your host, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back. Even miracle. We're on the home stretch here at Nightlight on this Wednesday evening edition. And I have got a video playing that I need to turn off. I'm having all kind. See, it's not you, Dwayne. It's me. I'm kind of a text baz too. So we're all set now. We're off to the races.
Okay.
So, all right. I got a correction here from the 608. Pete, quick correction. Funny business by my pal John Davies, not Michael Davies. Thanks, Gordy. Yes, Gordy. Okay. The documentary was done. Michael Davies works for Disney. John Davies is the guy who did the Funny Business documentary with the owner of All Jokes, who, as I understand it, was a really reputable club owner and just ran a great club, but they lost out to theaters. But that was another documentary about Chicago comedy that I just loved. And I don't know if you remember this, but when I started doing stand-up, every week, Dwayne, I would look at the Chicago Reader and see who was where. And all I saw was this guy, George Wilburn, every week at All Jokes Aside. I'm like, man, this guy is working more than anybody in town. And I never met him, but there was a lot of crossover or some crossover. Mike said he never really worked All Jokes Aside too, but it was like just it was a whole world I didn't know existed. Bernie Mac was there. All these guys that you didn't hear of until later.
Yeah.
And they became stars from this club. And I was just curious as to whether or not you ever worked it.
No, I never worked it. I went there one time. I just sat in the audience, but I never did it, man. I just didn't have the guts to do it. And I just made all these assumptions and, you know, about predominantly black audiences. Because I came up, I don't know, man, it's a lot of things, Pete, but I came up doing, like, Zanies and the, you know, what they call the North Side clubs.
Right.
You know, because Chicago's so segregated, you know, North Side was basically, would imply that it was a club with predominantly white audiences at the time. You know, things have changed a little bit. And if you did a South Side room, then that would imply there's probably a predominantly black audience. And I just didn't do a whole lot of black audiences, man. I didn't, like, mixed audiences I did.
Sure.
But, yeah, so I didn't really do it. And I did myself, I think, a disservice by not doing it. But I had, like I said, some notions that were preconceived and some notions that were confirmed. But, you know, what I used to do sometimes when Bernie Mac, after he became famous, when he was, like, ascending, he used to do a show on Tuesdays when he was in town at a place called Meltronier's. I don't know if you ever heard of that place.
No.
But right now it's called, I think it's called Tommy O'Toole's or Timothy O'Toole's here in Chicago. But it used to be called Meltronier's. And Bernie Mac would do a show there on Tuesday, like a variety show, you know, music, comedy. And I did that 3 or 4 times, man, and it was great. The audiences were great. So
that's cool. Know. It just goes to show you, too, like you just said, Chicago is very segregated. The fact that I didn't even know about All Jokes Aside until after it was open for 5 years should tell you, like, I knew guys like you and Mike and a lot of black comics that was Shay Shay that worked the North Side. So I just thought, I didn't even know the South Side clubs existed, or that one club at least. But so let's talk about Out of the Loop, though. It was such a great film. And what did you do? Like, what were your duties on that show, Dwayne, from a producerial standpoint?
I procured some of the people that were interviewed.
Okay.
I reached out and just connected them with Mike. And now that was primarily that. And then, like I said, Mike probably shot about 90% of it, you know. But then what happened was he had amassed all this footage, but it wasn't really a story, you know?
Right.
So then we brought in Scott Perlman, because Scott was an editor and a director. And so Scott came in. And then Scott and I, we went out and actually we did a few more interviews, and then we just shot some footage so that, you know how that is, so you could do cutaways, and so
sure.
Scott could shape it into a story.
Absolutely. It was really well done. It's available on Tubi, Plex, Amazon Prime Video. If you haven't seen it, I would check it out. We had Mike on the show about a month ago, and we talked pretty extensively about it, but it is out there, and you'll see a lot of famous names or really respected comedy names. In addition to Dwayne, Bob Odenkirk makes a very funny appearance. We just hear Bob Odenkirk saying he can't do it on his message, but I love that he let you guys do that. That was so funny.
That's hilarious, man. That's the old positive brush off. I can't do it, but hey, good luck to you. Right. I'm rooting for you. You know, I won't be doing it, but, you know, I'm rooting for you, though.
Right.
That's hilarious.
And yeah. Jeff Garland's very funny, and it's just a great...
Oh, man.
There's some great laughs in it. You guys did a great job on that. So I mentioned earlier, I wanted to talk to you about movies shot in Chicago, Dwayne. You're a lifelong Chicago guy. I lived there the first part of my childhood, and then for years when I was doing stand-up. What are your favorite movies shot in Chicago?
Well, I'll tell you what. Even though it's shot in Chicago, Chicago's not really the focal point, but there's sort of references, if you know Chicago, The Matrix.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Have you seen that recently? Does it hold up?
I haven't seen it recently. I'm just going to say, yes, it holds up, Pete, but I haven't seen it in a minute. But, but The Matrix, remember there was a scene when they were at, I think, Clark and Lake, or they were at some, you know, it was two Chicago street names where they were at, even though, you know, like a dystopian future. Yeah.
Right. That film and Batman also was filmed there, but they don't really mention that.
I was going to tell you. Yeah. I was going to mention that Batman Begins.
There's some other.
I think the first two Batmans were shot in Chicago.
Yeah.
The Christopher Nolan Batman.
Correct. Yeah, and they were great.
The Christian Bale, Christopher Nolan, yeah.
But I found that I really like, I live in Wisconsin now. There are some movies shot here. We've talked about them quite a bit. But Chicago has just had so many films like The Fugitive, The Untouchables.
Right.
You remember the Sean Penn film Bad Boys with Isai Morales was in it too? Great film.
The Blues Brothers.
Blues Brothers. Also shot in Milwaukee too.
My Bodyguard.
My Bodyguard,
What's the one, not in Chicago, more in the suburbs though, but was what's the one with John Hughes and they were all on detention?
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club. That was shot like in the suburbs.
Correct.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Did you ever see a film called Running Scared with Billy Crystal and Gregory Hines?
I did, yeah. That was shot in Chicago.
Yeah.
There was one with, what's the cat? He's from Chicago. The brother that was in, did you ever see Menace to Society?
Yeah, years ago.
Okay, the cat that played Old Dog is from Chicago. Oh, Lorenz Tate. Lorenz Tate is from Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And he did a film, and he played a poet in Chicago, like around the poetry scene.
Oh, yeah. What was that? Yeah. I thought you were going Cooley High.
Cooley High, too, but no. I think it was Love Jones, I think.
Love Jones. Yep. Yeah.
Love Jones. And then here's a flick. This is hilarious because supposedly, it was set in Chicago, but Saturday Night.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. They shot some of the exteriors in Chicago, and then at some point in the movie, because I guess they just said either they ran out of money or they just resumed shooting it again, but at the point it's established that it's supposed to be Chicago, there's a chase scene in the cars, and they're driving through the mountains of Los Angeles, of California. I said, what happened in Chicago? You made a left off of 63rd and wound up in the mountains?
Or by the Hollywood sign. I remember those. It was Bill Cosby and it was Uptown Saturday Night. The other one was A Piece of the Action.
It was three of them. Uptown Saturday Night, Let's Do It Again, and A Piece of the Action.
Yeah.
And then it was Bill Cosby and Sidney Poitier, and Sidney Poitier directed the first one.
Sidney Poitier,
that's
right.
Rosalind Cash and Harry Belafonte, Calvin Lockhart. That's a great flick, man. Roscoe Lee Brown, Paula Kelly. I love that flick, man.
Me too. That was one that was one of the first movies that was on pay per cable or whatever, HBO. I remember watching that like 20 times just because it was on all the time. And I love Bill Cosby when I was a kid. So that was, those were great. The other one I would say, hey, did you see a movie, a new one called We Grown Now?
No, I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it.
Just came out on Apple.
That was Lil Rel. Rel Howery is, I think he directed that.
Wrote
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you said the actress's name, I'll look it up. But that was a really sweet movie. And it was weird because they tried to shoot it in Cabrini Green, or it was set in Cabrini Green, but Cabrini Green's not there anymore. So they kind of did some cheats.
Right.
But just a really great story. I would recommend that.
Okay. I'll tell you one, Southside with Me, the romance of Barack and Michelle Obama, Southside with Me.
Heard of it? Have not seen it. It's good, huh?
That's a nice. I like it, man. It's a nice little love story. You know, it's quiet. It's a quiet flick. No violence. No. It's a nice little flick. I like it.
That's
kind of courting Michelle, and yeah.
That's kind of how We Grown Now. Oh, Journey Smollett is Jesse's sister. She's really good. And that's how this was. There was no violence. It was just about these two 12-year-old kids. And I don't want to sound like too folksy here, but I miss movies where they're interesting, but there's no horribly graphic violence or anything like that.
Yeah.
But that was really good. And you mentioned My Bodyguard, Dwayne. I loved that.
Yeah.
And
me too.
Yeah, it was like, and that was the first, probably one of the first films I really got into that was shot in Chicago. And, I just loved it. And I don't know ever what happened to that lead actor, Chris Makepeace, but good film.
Right. You know, I was thinking, I wonder if that cat was indigenous somehow. That Makepeace sounds like could have been like an indigenous name or something.
That's right. Yeah, he looked like an Irish kid or something from the north side, but yeah.
Yeah.
And Hoop Dreams. Did you ever see Hoop Dreams? You must have seen Hoop Dreams.
I have not seen it in its entirety. I've seen some bits of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was one when it came out in the 90s. I just thought that was a phenomenal film. What about Last Night, Dwayne?
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, really?
Last Night.
Okay.
Yeah. It's probably more that I haven't seen than I have seen, Pete. So I don't know if I'm messing up your segment.
Are you more of a TV
we
guy?
We brought Dwayne Kennedy on Chicago and Dwayne Kennedy, and he didn't know anything about Chicago.
Watch Dwayne just nod every time Pete brings up a movie he hasn't seen. Let me ask you this, Dwayne. Let's pivot from movies.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
One more flip before we do.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a flip called Stony Island.
Oh, I don't know that film.
And Ray Dong Chong was in it.
Oh, really? Stony Island?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Stony Island.
I don't know that one. Conrad, take a memo. Okay. Let's look that up.
Sounds good.
All right. Dwayne, I love that you're still doing stand-up. I just saw a set you did at Zany's a couple months ago. We played a little clip of it earlier. Very funny. Who do you, like, when you're flipping around on the TV, who do you see that you actually watch that you find very funny?
Well, there's... Let me see. I'll tell some people, like, name people. Some people I see in that, I don't know who they are. And
yeah.
I can't, I don't remember who. But, like, Brian Regan, man, is,
Oh, he's great.
Brian Regan is. Oh, man. That cat's hilarious.
He's
that
so
cat
funny.
Is like a palate cleanser. You know, like everybody who has different styles, everybody seems like they like that cat. You know what I mean? It's like, when people say, let's go, how do you do comedy? Let's watch Brian Regan.
Could not agree more. That's great. Dwayne, we got to do a quick thing. Can you hang for a couple more minutes?
Sure.
All right. Dwayne Kennedy is here, the Emmy-winning writer and comedian. He's going to help us get through this break, and we'll do a couple more minutes with Dwayne before we shut things down for the night. This is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
If you sail or enjoy water sports, why not consider a donation to International Youth Sailing of Oshkosh at Miller's Bay on Lake Winnebago? This group has passionately built a community of recreational sailing for kids and families in northeastern Wisconsin for 16 years. A donation from you would help us to continue to educate and enrich the lives of children in Oshkosh through sailing. To make a donation or to volunteer, please visit us at sailoshkosh.com.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Welcome back. Sherry on the text line says, Johnny Depp in, and I know the film you're talking about, Sherry, Public Enemies, was set in Chicago. They filmed a lot of it here in Wisconsin, though. Sherry says, he even had a beer with my family. I wasn't there. It was a gangster movie. That's right. In Lockport, Illinois. Oh, maybe they shot some of it there too, but that was Public Enemies. Thanks for checking in, Sherry. As always, Dwayne Kennedy is here, Chicago-based stand-up comedian. We're talking Chicago movies, and I wanted to ask you, Dwayne, I don't think I knew this last time you were here. I would have asked you about this, and I forgot about this with Mike Alexander, too. You're two guys I know that have written for the big network shows. You wrote for Arsenio. Mm-hmm. What was that like? Was that like a really intense time? How is that in that writer's room?
It can be intense, I guess. A show like that. Like, I've written for a couple of television shows. I wrote for him, and I wrote for W. Kamau Bell when he had a show on FX called Totally Biased. Yeah. So it's just, you know, like the procedure is usually a show, like you meet in the morning, you get to your assignments, you know, you pitch ideas, you know, or say if there's like for Arsenio, they have what they call refillable bits. Like we got this bit about, there was this bit about the bucket. I can't remember. Something like you answer these questions, if questions wrong, some bucket, whatever. So it's like, okay, we're going to do the bucket Wednesday. We need 80 questions for the bucket or whatever. So everybody or a few people work on that, you know, so you might get an assignment. Some people working on the monologue, you know. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but.
No, I never thought I would do well in that setting, just like writing monologue type jokes. But then I ended up doing a gig called Sports Soup, which was like the soup only for sports people. And I actually kind of enjoyed it. And I always wondered like what it was like in those rooms. That was the show you won you won the Emmy for W. Kamau Bell, right?
I won for working on as a supervising producer on United Shades of America.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
When you worked for Arsenio, did he know about your connection to the Comedy Cottage in Chicago? Because as I understand it, he worked there quite a bit too.
You know what? No, Pete, he didn't know about it, and I didn't bring it up. I didn't even bring it up, man. Like,
that's probably smart. Yeah. You hear stories about people that go, hey, I'm from there too, and then you realize they hate their hometown and you get fired, you know, or whatever.
Right.
Oh, that's funny.
So, I don't know. I kept that to myself. But he was a cool cat to, you know, to work for, man. You know, like everybody wants their own specific things. And, but as shows went, that was a cool show to work for. I met some cool people, enjoyed my time. sometimes, you know, and then people bring different strengths to a show, you know, like some people write monologue jokes. That's what they do. And then some people will come on. And when I worked, I wrote for Orlando Jones. That was the first show I ever wrote for. And whatever it was I was supposed to be writing, it kind of evolved into pretty much me and Ali LaRoy. You know Ali.
Yeah.
Yeah, we shared an office together. We wound up just writing sketches all the time. We wrote a boatload of sketches. That's kind of what we evolved into, and Orlando was cool with it, and that's just what we did. So, I mean, you know, we would contribute to other things. Like, I sometimes would contribute to the monologue, but primarily me and Ali were just in there writing sketches. And Orlando liked sketches, so.
That's so funny because I remember hearing a story. You remember Stephen Leo from Chicago, great comedy team that wrote the Santa Claus and Space Jam and Kicking and Screaming. They said when they got a job on either the Carol Burnett show or Dennis Miller, they would have a board and all the bits they were working on for the show. And then they would turn the board over when they closed the door and they had an outline for the Santa Claus. That was what they were really working on when they were in the office, supposedly writing for this TV show. So,
That's hilarious, man.
Yeah, Dwayne, this was fun. I'm sorry about the technical issues. It kind of cut into our time a little bit, but it's great to have you here. We got about 30 seconds. Can you give us a TV show you're watching or some kind of a recommendation?
No, I can give you TV shows I want to watch, but I have yet to watch, but they're older shows. Like, everybody's saying this with the way the things are going on in society. Everybody's saying this is like The Handmaid's Tale, which everybody watched. I never saw it. I need to watch that and see what the reference is.
It's funny you say that. I watched the first episode, and it was really good, but it was so depressing because you're right. It kind of parallels society right now a little bit, in my opinion, and I never went back to it, but not because it wasn't good. I just was kind of like, not in the mood for this. You know, I'd rather laugh or something. Yeah. But
So that's what I want to get to that at some point.
Yeah.
You know.
A lot of stuff out there.
A lot of stuff.
Hey, this was fun, man. Thank you for your time tonight. And next time we'll troubleshoot a little sooner, but I appreciate you sticking with us. And it was great to talk to you, man.
All right. You too, Pete. Thanks for having me, man.
Anytime. That's Dwayne Kennedy. Right. Very funny stand-up comic. Google him, check out his videos on YouTube, see him live if you can. I should have asked Dwayne where he's performing so I could share that with people, but you'll find out. He's a great comic. So if you get a chance to see Dwayne, check him out. This is, it's been a weird night we haven't had technical issues in a long time, Conrad.
Yeah, we haven't, yeah. And that was unfortunate.
He was fine, though, once he was on the phone, and Dwayne's just great. He's a good guy, so. But The Handmaid's Tale, that's a great pull. I never went back to that, and have you seen that?
I have not, no.
All right. It's a good show, but it's dark. It's kind of depressing, but for good reason, I guess. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, we have more fun planned, believe it or not. So we hope you come back. Rich Tallarico will be here. He's a Key and Peele writer, very funny guy who came up through Second City. Brittany Merlot, I'm hoping, will be here at 8:05 to talk about tornadoes because I just saw Twisters, and I have all kinds of questions for Brittany. And my buddy Ben Reiser from the Wisconsin Film Festival will be here. I always like getting Ben's takes on movies, so we'll do that tomorrow night. Thank you so much for all your texts tonight. Thank you to Craig Anthony Kinnett and Dwayne Kennedy. And on behalf of Conrad, I hope you all have a lovely night and tune in tomorrow night for Nightlight. We'll be back. But for right now, good night, Wisconsin. I think it's one of those deja vu things. All the train is trying to tell me something, but we'll have to stop thinking about it. I don't know. I doubt it. Subterranean by design. I wonder what I would find if I met you. Let my eyes caress you until I meet the thought of Mrs. Princess who. Often wonder what makes her work. I guess I'll leave that question to the experts. Assuming that there are some out there, they're probably alone. Solitaire. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for Matt and Air on Air.
Crude and Dom.
Tune in Thursday for a throwback edition. Donald Trump has offended Jewish people. He's offended black people. What ethnic group will he offend today?
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support.
WISS 1100 AM Berlin. W252 DR Oshkosh.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.